I mean, I think that way sometimes, in that it's a harder call, or that it's a greater call to do vocational Christian ministry. And I know that's not true, but I sometimes think that.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in this awesome country, formerly. Reluctant, a bit reluctant to do cross-cultural work in a global sense. Now, substantially less reluctant. And I got my good friend Randy here. What's up, dude?
Oh, not much right now. To be honest, I'm just sending a quick text message to the guy that's going to join us in a few minutes to grab this thing. But hey,
going
to
do the pop in.
I am Randy, or perhaps Randall, depending on where you're from in this world. Mm. And I'm a former atheist, currently serving as the leader of a little band of brothers and sisters serving cross-cultural work called SIMUSA.
It's as shocking as it gets.
It is. That's it.
Praise God. It's crazy.
So I'm looking at the clock, my date on my computer, and it says 21 days until Ben's airplane departs. How's that feel?
You may be correct. It feels strange. The best word I have right now is just overwhelming. It seems like a long time, 21 days. I mean, this is actually, you can do a lot in 21 days, but for some reason, it just feels like that is not enough time to get half the stuff I need to get done. So it's a bit overwhelming.
So who tends to be more passionate about the details of packing, you or Ashley?
Ashley is really good at packing. Huh. And I've had her help me like pack just like a little small container with like cords or like coffee stuff. Like if I can't get to clothes, I'm just like, I quit. I can't do it. You got to help me. So she's the packer. She called herself the Martha today. And I was like, you're not a Martha, you're a Mary. And she is, she really is. But when it's packing time, I mean, she's focused and, you know, hours, sun up, sun down.
Was she subtly trying to say that you were sitting at the feet of Jesus?
She's trying to say I'm lazy. I don't know. Oh, gosh. Can we say that? Yeah. She might have been subtly hinting at that. I don't know. That's really funny.
I know that when Robin and I, when we have a really tight deadline, mm-hmm. I'm well known for taking a nap.
Yeah, it just feels right. It just feels right. Your system overload. You got to unload. You just got to rest. Take it easy. Let it go.
There's this one cartoon. It has a picture of a stork with a frog in its mouth, mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. frog is trying to choke the stork while the stork's trying to eat it. Have you seen this picture?
I think you've sent it to me.
I think so. But that is my wife. She will fight until every last breath. And for me, if it looks like I'm going to lose, if it looks like the battle's over, it's okay. Yeah. Okay, just eat me. That's
done.
I'm not fighting to the end.
That's what it feels like with packing right now. Yeah.
So for you guys, what are some of the big barriers that may or may not make it so you can leave on 21 days?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we might not get a visa. Mm. Or we might get a visa not at the time that we want to get a visa, which would cause us to be delayed. So we could also hit the COVID and test positive for COVID, not be able to get on a plane. Those are a couple of the big ones that are kind of unknown. I would like to think it's going to work out, but the truth is I've been calling the consulate because I forgot a document to send. I've been calling them for like 2 weeks now, every day, for like hours a day, trying to get a hold of them, and I can't get anyone to answer the phone. And I even resorted to sending a fax, which is just...
Wow. Barney Rubble used to send faxes, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that's it's insane. Like I've never done that before in my life. They didn't answer emails. So I was like, I'm just going to send this document through a fax machine. And I did it.
So where did you find a fax machine?
Our church has one, believe it or not. They have a fax machine. Yeah. I wrote a cover letter, did the whole thing. I think that's what you're supposed to do.
This week I was reading this little verse in Matthew 21. It says, if you believe, you will receive everything you ask for in prayer. Mm-hmm. So if you want this visa, can't you just say like, I believe, and then it will happen automatically?
I mean, I can say that. I mean, I could say it, you know, but I don't feel it, man. It's hard to describe. Like, I want to believe it. I really, really want the visa to come through.
Why don't you just believe?
I really want to not test positive for COVID a few days before that plane ride.
But you're not sure.
But I'm just not sure. It's true.
So if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for. Have you prayed?
I've definitely prayed.
So you've prayed for both of those things?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you believe.
I didn't miss it. Yeah, it's the belief part. It's like, I mean, I know it'll eventually happen. But that's what I'm telling myself in my mind, right? Like, it's not, I would not call this, if I'm stepping outside of myself, looking down on me, or, you know, in general, if God's looking at me, I don't think he's seeing someone that's just like, oh, this guy's, he's got the confidence he needs to to pray and believe in faith. He's got it all together. I don't feel like that guy. I just don't. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, as I read this passage, it's a little tough for me because it seems to say that if I believe, I'll receive whatever I ask for in prayer. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's exhorting me to believe. So then, but somehow I don't feel like it's in my control to believe the way I need to, that you're going to get your visa by the time you need it for the 26th. It's all. So I think for me, that's kind of where I've landed on this verse, that I actually think it's true. I think the verse is true, that if I believe, you will receive the visa you need on the free COVID test by the 26th of August.
Yeah. So what would you tell someone like me who wants to, but is struggling to fully believe it in that sense?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is when I was non-Christian, I didn't yet believe in Jesus. And then it was almost like God gave me the faith to believe. The scripture says it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So my thought is that the faith to believe in Jesus was actually a gift from God.
Yeah.
And so now I'm thinking the kind of belief that's 100% certain to get what you want can only come from God. So I guess what I have to do now is I have to say, God, would you please give Ben the kind of belief he needs in order to receive his visa on time.
Yeah.
There's this one little passage where Jesus is talking to a dude and Jesus says, do you believe? And he says, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. So I guess maybe that's where we're at here.
That's where I'm at.
It's like you're trying really hard to believe the visa is going to come. You're trying, you're trying really hard to trust God for this. But you actually don't know what he's going to do. So,
yeah.
God, we believe. Help us in our unbelief. All right. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
We are well.
All right. So here we are with Jad and Della. The 400 people on my prayer list, I was asked to go through the list and choose the one family that I most wanted to come through as candidates for SMUSA, and I chose them, and so they're here now.
Hello, that was a very generous introduction. We're pretty normal.
Hi.
Hi.
That's what I like the most, that they're pretty normal. I agree, they're pretty normal for remarkable people. So anyway, the plan now is that We're gonna send Della away into a sound isolated room, and we're gonna ask Jad to answer some questions. And then when Della comes back, we're going to quiz her about what she thinks Jad said.
Mm. And then we're going to see if they're compatible. Marriage game show style.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. The official interrogation space is on now. So, Jad, what was your work day like today?
Well, it was pretty normal. I've got an engineering job, and I was solving some fun technical problems and answering emails.
What kind of technical problems does an engineer come across on a very mundane and routine day?
Oh, I write some software, try to figure out why some circuits are not doing what I think they should be doing. Today was a lot more just emails.
That's what a missionary leader does too.
It sounds explosive.
Yeah, it was really riveting.
Oh, cool.
So how did you get to work today?
Today I worked at home for a couple hours, and then I rode in. We got one car here right now, so sometimes I steal the van, or other times I bike in. And today was actually, I stole the van. So I left DJ with the car and stranded with the kids. And
Wow. I thought I was giving you a chance to brag about your biking prowess, but in reality, I just called you out on your sort of leaving your family out in the snowdrift.
Yeah. Well, I made it up because this evening we all walked together, and June has been in VBS all week long. So we watched her VBS music routine tonight. It was pretty hilarious.
How old is June?
She is 3.
She's the most delightful 3-year-old you can imagine.
It's supposed to be a minimum of kindergarten for this VBS class. So she is definitely out of the element.
So what was one of the best parts of June's performance?
Well, she might listen to this at some point in the future. So I'll try and not say anything too embarrassing. But sometimes her "I have to go to the bathroom" dance is kind of the same as... Like, I'm really excited about singing along dance. And it wasn't real clear which of those it was.
Probably she both.
She brought much joy to many people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the, I was just sharing with Ben and others the fact that when we used to come home from Central Asia, that we would often have a meal with you guys. And so it was clear to me you were enthusiastic about the need for Jesus internationally, and you were interested in that. But just at some point, it seems, as far as I can tell, that there was a transition from interested to curious. Wondering whether this might be something God was calling you to. And so how did that transition take place for you?
Yeah. Well, the first kind of, as I was thinking about this, the first distinction I wanted to draw was that it doesn't seem like there was junior varsity who was just interested, and now there's like varsity who's considering going. It feels more like there's people in our church that are zealous senders and enthusiastically praying and being faithful right where they're at. And yet God has clearly not called them personally to go. So it doesn't seem like I'm going up a level by moving from just curious and interested in sending to considering going. This is kind of the first thing I was thinking about.
So let me press into that for a second, because what you didn't say, but what I would guess that you meant, was that you think that I think that the one that's thinking about going is somehow more committed or more advanced than the one that's energetically supporting. So do you think that I think that way?
No, I don't think you think that way. But
since you just said that, surely.
I mean, I think that way sometimes, in that that it's a harder call or that it's a greater call to do vocational Christian ministry. I know that's not true, but I sometimes think that way.
No, I think that's it's a helpful distinction. Actually, I'm just pondering in my mind. So I think that I have heard in the past missionaries speak in a way that makes me think that they think being a missionary is more important than all other Christian ministry. And I think I've heard pastors speak as if being a pastor is more important than all other ministries. And I can think of one particular businessman that thinks that earning money to support ministries is the most important thing there is. And so I guess in some ways, the scriptures clearly call us to consider others better than ourselves. And so if you are a missionary and you imagine the most important aspect of Christian work is missions, it's more likely than not that that you've lost your humility. But I think that is when we're inviting people, but like when I'm inviting you and or when Ben's inviting somebody else, or when we're inviting people to consider missions, it would be easy to assume that we thought that was more important than what you're doing right now, instead of a potential different way that God might use your skills. So it's a helpful sharpening that I'm pondering out loud in front of an audience.
Yeah. Because there's a great need, right? Like we're exposed to this great need in the world, and then it's easy to assign some sort of value to it, I think, that puts others down in what they do and only lifts us up. And that's not, I mean, obviously that's not of God. And he's got some sort of really cool system he's created here that it all functions and works together for his good. And it's easy to get caught up in what we feel is best, because the need is there, right? You know, it's in front of us, and it's easy to take it on in some sort of ownership, right?
I'm an engineer, so I really like to boil everything down to a number when I can.
Oh. By all means.
So I think to myself, how many people should become missionaries to unreached peoples? Is it one out of 10 Christians, or is it one out of 100? Or is it one out of 1,000? Or is it one out of 10,000? And the answer is, I don't know the right number. But I'm pretty sure it's not 1 in 10, and I'm pretty sure it's not 1 in 10,000. But
it's a good guess.
Yeah, it's not the most important thing. It's just an important thing, and it's the something worth considering. So one of the I'm thinking through this. One of the questions that I've tried to ask myself is, if somebody isn't sure whether they're called to be a goer or a sender, then it made sense to me that they would journey with people that had more experience in that area to explore the question. That if you're not sure. So I guess what's the sort of first time you can think of that you entertained the idea that maybe God was calling your family to go?
Yeah. Well, we've always been interested in what our church is doing to support cross-cultural going. And we've always been like enthusiastic, but we just didn't quite see ourselves as fitting the mold of what we perceived that would be. Until we were introduced to some new friends that just challenged us to consider going and asked us the question of, just provided some encouragement that our gifts are going to be useful. It's not that God calls just pastors to go. And they just considered they challenged us to consider it. And kind of in tandem with that, my wife and I had just done a move from Washington to Pennsylvania. And so we'd kind of been unsettled from just the comfort that we had in our old environment and our old workplace. And so we were already a little bit, God had just upended that inertia that we previously had. So God was using that at the same time that we were being asked by these new friends to just consider taking a step to explore what it could look like to do cross-cultural ministry. So I think both of those in tandem were how the initial steps happened.
It sounds like your friends really valued you. Like they saw something. I'm curious, did they speak into what they saw that they valued so much? Was it what was it? Do you have any idea?
Well, they're mutual friends with Randy. So I think Randy had maybe given.
So they were paid.
But the first time we talked with them, we thought maybe they would have an agenda, and they would encourage us right at the beginning to consider something. But they didn't. They just wanted to get to know us and talk and get to know who we were and what kind of made us tick. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until a month or two later that they brought up the possibility of what. Well, first of all, they described what their experience was like, that he was an engineer, that God had given him redirected his passion at one point in his career where he no longer felt the fulfillment in his job to be working in telecom, and God just really reoriented what he was passionate about. And it made going to work in that old environment just painful to the point that he felt like I need to do something different. And God was kind of doing that in my life as well with the company that I was at. I'm not particularly passionate about their mission all the time. And so I kind of had a general sense that at some point in the future, I need to make a change, but I wasn't really sure what that was going to look like.
It sounds like they were being led by the Spirit, and their agenda was not to headhunt, you know, and to capture you. It sounds like they were just following God's lead and treasuring a relationship and going with their spirit and their gut combination. Very cool.
Shout out to Chris. Thank you for just being a good friend.
Wow, that's really, I bet that means a lot to Chris. I hope he hears it.
So there's an interesting thing that, I mean, I'm thinking of when Jesus said, here's how it is with those that are born of the Spirit. The wind blows and you don't know where it's going. And in a lot of ways, what I'm hearing is that there was a combination of general passion for this kind of work, seeing the nations reached, love for Jesus, love for ministry. And then there was a life circumstance that was causing, life circumstances were causing change, but then there was also inner change going on. And it was in that context where God brought people in your life that spoke into those things.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
And all of that combined caused you to begin there.
Yeah. Yeah. In my life, it seems really rare that God gives me a flashing neon direction sign. And much more frequently, it seems like I take a step forward into a decision that seems like where he might be leading. And a step or two after that point, I maybe start to feel a little bit more peace. Or maybe a step or two after that, he kind of nudges into a different direction. But it seems like the general trend in my life has been to have to take a step or two and then peace comes or clarity comes.
Yeah.
At times when I take a step in a direction, I'll take the step and then I kind of get a redirected passion that pulls me into a different direction. And with this application process and the Sim Start, I felt like each step along the way has continued to be an increasing interest or increasing enthusiasm or passion in this direction. And so it hasn't been like that there's a single goalpost that we've crossed through that makes us fully confident, but each increasing step has been increasingly confident, I guess.
What would you say to someone who is maybe similarly enthusiastic about missions, that maybe is thinking about a little bit further? What would you say to someone who isn't quite sure they should take the step of like getting a plane ticket or traveling across the U.S. wherever they live in relation to North Carolina? What would you say to them? Because that's actually a big step to take. You know, maybe it's a day or two off work. Maybe it's, you know, financially spending money. They, you know, it's money. Like, what would you say to someone who's a bit hesitant to step out and go meet people at SIM to hear what they have to say? What's their wisdom? What are they discerning as well in your life? What would you say to people that are kind of in that little process, that little space right there between the enthusiastic and I'm all in, I'm stepping out and I'm going?
I think my question to them would be, have all of those little steps that have led up to that point, the application and all of these incremental pieces, has it continued to increase your interest in this direction? And if it has, that next step is the only option to try. I guess I like to just think about, what does it look like for us to be faithful right now? Mm-hmm. And that in the present, that it's usually pretty clear, like what the next small step of being faithful looks like. If I try and think too far down the road, it just gets too blurry and I can't.
Oh, the next, do the next right thing. That's
frozen wisdom.
That's the core message from church, is do the next right thing. That's awesome.
If it makes you twitch, it might not be.
I like that one better.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
You bet.
It was great to be here.
I'll get Della.
All right, excellent. Have you been in a sound isolation chamber?
I have been, yeah.
Oh, how was your experience?
It was excellent.
Okay.
I brushed my teeth and flossed and did some reading.
Good.
41 minutes. That you I'm surprised your gums aren't bloody after 41 minutes of brushing and flossing. So what was your work day like today?
It was pretty good. June is in Vacation Bible School this week, which is like, she just turned 3. So it's like my first time ever dropping her off at something, because I stay at home with my kids. And it's been really wonderful. And she's really liked it. And then Mark has been sick, but not super sick. So it's actually been kind of nice, because he's been very lethargic. So he's been taking 2 naps. So it feels like I've had like 90 minutes the past 2 mornings, like all to myself, which is very rare. Wow. So it's been like a week.
So I was reflecting with Ben and Jad that that you guys, when we would come home, you guys would always frequently had us over for food and stuff. And Robin remembers one time when you said to her, "How is it that you have time? It seems like everybody at church would want to have you guys over," as if like from your perspective, of course people want to hang out with missionaries. And so that was just that's my little picture of Della's enthusiasm. And I love
it. I met another missionary that was like visiting from Nepal, and I think it was kind of overwhelming because she was like my age too. And I was like, we should hang out tomorrow. and I like always text people like, "Hey, you want to come over for dinner? We're free Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and like Tuesday mornings before noon or something." And it's kind of like, you can let them say no. Like that. Yeah.
Well, we loved it. It made us feel special. So how do you go from that place where you're sort of enthusiastic about being involved and praying and supporting and doing whatever's being done until you get to this place where you're sort of now thinking about where might God have us serve in a couple of years?
Yeah, I guess there were a few things. One of the biggest ones, I think, was moving to a new area, because we had a great church community in Washington State, where we lived for 6.5 years. And we initially went there with the Navy. I was stationed there and in the Navy a few years there. And we got really connected with our church. We're like leading a small group and just really thriving and had great friends. And I think every time that happens, you're nervous. Like when you move, if you know what's going to happen, if you're going to be content or really sad. So we moved to Pennsylvania. We like took an opportunity because we were considering moving closer to family or just trying something different. So we moved to Pennsylvania, and overall it was like a really good experience, and we're happily staying indefinitely. So that's good. And we've really been, I think, most excited about the international student presence here in State College and the opportunity to have people over into our home that are from different cultures and different backgrounds. So that's been good. It's reminded us like we can make friends anywhere, and like hospitality is fairly universal. So it's been great and given us courage to like try something very, very different, like going overseas. A second thing would be friends asking us if we considered going overseas or being cross-cultural workers, and asking us fairly persistently. It was like initially a gentle nudge, but then like more of a hard shove. But it worked. And then the third thing is like we took Perspectives, which is a like 14-week course. And that was really conducive to my husband's line of thinking, and that it was like a slow, thorough, steady, like pound you with everything about the World Christian Movement. And so that was very effective for him and also for me.
So there was people believed in, people saw something in you, and life circumstances changed, and a training program.
Yes. I wish I said it that concisely.
Well, that's the good part, is I was able to listen to you. So you went from this place where you made a decision to go through an application. How long do you think the application took you?
Not very long, actually.
Just 20 minutes?
Reached out. Oh, I thought you meant time span. No, the application was thorough in itself. Like once we started doing it, it was several hours. And then there was a doctrinal assessment, which it was probably like 25 hours for both those things.
What are some important things you took away from the application process?
The application was very thorough. So I felt, which to me was a good thing, because I was concerned that we would not be like a good fit for missions. So I was happy that they like, wanted to really make sure we were normal and okay and would benefit a team. So to me, that was a good thing. And yeah, I thought they took a lot of different perspectives, because they got letters of recommendation and then our perspective. And then also they pull in like a psych eval. So you have this like third party who doesn't even know you. So that was encouraging. And ultimately, I think talking about Joshua was like, I think that we are the least qualified people to disqualify ourselves from serving cross-culturally, because we haven't done it and we don't really know what would be good. So like, yeah. We're not pastors, we don't have formal seminary training or anything, but maybe that's okay. Like we should let someone else decide if that's okay or not okay.
So that's interesting. So one of the takeaways from the process is that you have this organization that has sent 10,000 workers, 10,000 cross-cultural missionaries, and they might know better than you whether you're qualified.
Yes.
That almost sounds like humility.
Yes.
So what I'm gonna try to put your takeaways into three. One takeaway was they did enough to make you believe that they understood the real you.
Yes.
And number two, you believe they're in a position to make an assessment. And number three, if they invite you for the next step of an in-person training, then you should feel okay to go.
Correct. Yeah. Like they're the big wigs, you know, we're just the little people.
Well,
how did the Sim Start training go? What did you get from that?
It went really well. I think one of the, or there were like three big things was first that they really cared about like your whole family. So there's like a really detailed children's program for like equipping them to go to certain spots. They even will be location or country specific. So that was very encouraging. And there's like four or five full-time missionary members like in Charlotte, like dedicated to training your kids. So like, wow, they really value the whole package. Mm-hmm. Secondly was they prayed for everything. Thought that was like, SM was really by prayer. I was like, wow. Someone prayed before our walking tour. I was like, like, I'm not sure what we're praying for exactly. Like,
and you can't judge it, right? You can't be that person.
Yeah, no one gets heat exhaustion, but it was smooth. It was like super smooth. There was some candy. It was an awesome tour. And then the third thing that was kind of like an indirect part of SimStart is being at the Charlotte campus. And that was the chapel in the morning where everyone is gathering who works at SIM and is praying for a large, like at least 15 minutes. And they prayed one day for a specific country and then one day for like a specific missionary and his wife and one day for something else that was also very meaningful and specific. And it really was neat to see how much they value prayer and actually dedicate time to doing that. Like I was like, that could be me one day. Like I could be landing in country and they could be praying for me. So it was really neat.
I have to say that I think like the little ethos we want to have, the way we want to come across and we want to be is prayer, care, and discipleship. And you didn't know that, of course, because that's like that's our secret formula that we don't tell anybody. But but the prayer and the care for your family and the discipleship process is what you just described, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Whenever the people at my office hear this, they're going to tear up. What advice do you have for another person that has not yet started to think of themselves as potentially useful in going?
Just to keep an open mind and really keep missions in your area of influence. So attending a church that really values missions would be important. Reading, like committing to reading a missionary biography every year or so, maybe with a friend. And then taking a perspectives class. I actually called SIM in like 2017 because I inquired once and they told me to take a perspectives class. And then we finally did it in January of 2021. So, but that was really helpful for us.
Now, I didn't know this part about you contacting SIM in 2017. I'll have to go back and
look. It's very interesting.
Yeah, sometimes I like read a missionary book or talk with Randy and get really excited about missions and be like determined that we should go next week. Turns out Joe doesn't really work like that. Yeah. So I think I'd be like, did you read the Hudson Taylor biography? Like, it's amazing. And I feel like he'd be like, yeah, it was good. He's godly. And I was like, that was all you got out of it. So definitely have to like just be cool. Like, hey. So sometimes I feel like we would be on different pages of excitement for it, and that would really be hard. Like a little bit of disunity. So
yeah.
It's nice. I think we're kind of synced up now.
That's really cool to hear.
All right. So Josh isn't here, so you have to tell us how to pray for your family.
We did send out a prayer thing today.
I saw it, but the other listeners probably didn't.
Oh yeah. Prayer for in the next like 6 weeks or so, Lord willing, we will have a location of where we're going. So we more have a general call to the unreached, but not a specific country or people group. So our plan is to do Zoom calls with various regional and country directors in unreached areas. And hopefully that will, the Lord will speak through that and we'll get an idea of where we're going. So prayer for wisdom, unity, and clarity as we seek a placement. Next, we're expecting baby number 3 in December. So we're going to be really busy. So we're hoping to do the next SAM training phase in October. Yet my husband's starting his like first semester of full-time master's. So, or toward his master's degree and he's starting full-time. So he's definitely got a lot going on and is really busy. So taking a whole week away, I think is pretty daunting. So that it would work out for us to go and maybe do it online, or that his classes would be super easy and he could like be home every Friday. Okay, that's more my request, but that we could attend the conference would be really good.
All right, Ben, you better pray for these people.
Yes. God, thank you so much for Della and Jad. Thank you, God, that you are God of clarity. You want to help them make the right steps and you want to give them the faith to do it. And God, I pray for the big decision and really just seeking the time investment in prayer on finding a place to go and a people group, a location. So God, I just pray that you help them ask the right questions and really just spend a lot of time in prayer and seeking you, asking what you might have them do and where you might have them go. And so God, we just ask that you would honor that time and investment and just really show them the place they need to be. And God, pray for this training or conference they've got to attend. Especially with a new baby coming along, lots of stuff, got a loaded schedule, it sounds like, with Jad's master's degree. And God, I just pray that you would help them remain focused on taking a breath and resting as they can, and remembering to pause to seek and pause to have fun. And God, I pray that you would just bless their family, and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.